What kind of insurance is right for me? Am I covered properly? What is a personal umbrella? Can I rebuild my house if it burns? Welcome to Peace of Mind, the radio show that helps you navigate through the complexities of the world of insurance. Brought to you by Moore Insurance Services, Mountain Insurance in Murphy, and Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge. And now your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind. My name is Mark Moore, here with my wife, Kathy. Say hello, Kathy.
Hello.
And I'm very excited today. We have a very special guest today, my friend Larry Ford, attorney at law. And he's going to tell us some things about we don't know from the other side of the fence. Kathy, we insure a lot of people. And what do we hear a lot of times when it comes to picking a limit of liability?
They always try to have the lowest liability they can get, but they don't always realize what can happen to them. So this is what this segment's
all
about.
Today we're going to find out because, to be honest with you, we don't see this, do we?
No.
We don't see what happens to people on their side of the fence.
See is what the claim will pay or what, and then when it's actually exhausted, then what happens under that's where Larry will come in.
We have seen the letter. The letter says, Mr. Smith, damages in this loss that you're responsible for are in excess of your liability limits. Mm-hmm. This letter is to advise you that any amounts over and above what your limits are will be your responsibility.
Right.
And that's what I wanted to ask Larry about today. So, Larry, tell us about yourself a little bit, about your business. You're one of my attorneys. You've helped me out a ton. How long have you been an attorney now, Larry? A long time.
Well, longer than I care to admit, I've practiced in Hayesville for 30 years, since 91. I came back to the mountains from being in Charlotte, Chapel Hill, Asheville, Hendersonville area. So I'll just leave it to surmise and speculation as to how much longer than 30 years I've practiced, but hopefully long enough to know what I'm doing. Happy to be here with you today. It's interesting that you said you're excited to have me here, because that's usually not the case when people sit down and talk with an attorney. But to your question, and I do work a lot with business owners, especially small business owners, which is
with our business too. We have a lot of mutual clients as well. Some of our clients have a lot of complex legal needs that Larry works with for them as well.
But most of my career has been concentrating on working with business owners, both on the business side, corporations, LLCs, business issues like that, contracts. I've also been general counsel for a couple of larger corporations in my time, also working with both business owners and individuals in areas of estate planning, real estate, and things of that nature. Don't do any criminal law, so if you get charged with murder, don't call me.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
But to your question about the, especially for business owners, and let's set up a couple of different scenarios here. Let's say you've got a business owner who's a retail business owner, where they've got customers coming to their business, their shop. Those folks need to have really good coverage in what's sometimes called premises liability.
Correct. Yes. That's right.
That's where somebody may slip and fall. Mm-hmm. They're in the parking lot, if the owner's responsible for that, or inside the premises, inside the shop itself, because those customers that you've essentially invited in to come buy products or services from your business, they're what's called in the law as invitees. That's a technical legal term for somebody that you've invited onto the premises. And you, as a business owner, owe the highest duty of care to those people. That means you've got to make sure that there's nothing on your premises that would be of danger or could cause an injury to those folks. Sometimes it's something that's not even that obvious. I have clients right now owned a business location, which happened to be leased to another organization, very large company, but a customer tripped and fell in the parking lot for a little uneven surface that was left over from repaving of the parking lot. And now both the company that is leasing the premises and operating as a well-known national business and the owners of the property are being sued. Mm-hmm. So it can cut both ways, not only with the business owner, but if somebody else owns the real estate and they're leasing to a business, then they can potentially be held liable. And one thing that people don't realize and that they should realize is that business insurance not only provides a financial pot, if you will, to cover the losses that might be assessed by a judgment if you're found responsible or for a civil liability, it's also the defense costs that are built in, because the company that insures you generally under most commercial policies has a duty to defend. That means they've got to hire the attorneys, and if it's a big dollar lawsuit, the plaintiffs are going to have some really good attorneys who really know how to go through the trial process. And there is a lot of tedious work that has to go into investigation, discovery, depositions before it ever gets to the courtroom. So that insurance company is generally going to know who the defense counsel in the area are that they can call upon that's going to do a really good job in defending.
Right.
And hopefully make sure that it gets dismissed before it gets to trial, or do such a good job during trial that the jury finds for the person who's being sued rather than for the plaintiff.
A lot of times things do get settled before it goes to court, correct? I mean,
sometimes they do and sometimes they don't.
Yeah. So we have, you know, we see this from our side, and, you know, you just hit a really good point there. People don't think about the defense cost, and the insurance policy is going to keep on defending you until they've tendered their limits, and then you're on your own. Mm-hmm. And the good thing, so if you've got $1 million of liability and they spend $150 on defense, you still keep your $1 million. It doesn't take away from your actual limit of liability, but that can be very costly. And once you're cut off, once they've tendered the limits, then they have no, like you said a minute ago, no duty to defend you anymore, and you're on your own. That's what that letter we get a lot of times saying, that, you know, once your limits are exhausted, we have no more duty to defend you or to pay any more additional amounts. So what's the process of, let's say that you, let's take a, you know, what is a good example of a premises liability. I've got one right now. I saw one yesterday. They've paid $90,000 out to somebody that slipped and fell at a restaurant that we insure. So these can be very costly. What's the process? Let's say that we are driving around in an automobile and the minimum limits in North Carolina are $30,000. In Georgia, they're $25,000. And you've sent somebody to a hospital. When I was in an accident years ago, I was not at fault. I looked in my mailbox and I had a stack of solicitations from attorneys wanting me to sue this third party. So what's the process once somebody, you know, going back to, you know, serving papers to somebody, what begins the process as far as, you know, you've caused an accident, you've had somebody slip off all your premises. What's the process when somebody files a suit against you? How does that work?
Well, if I'm representing the owner of the business or the property owner, and my best advice to them would be, number one, as soon as you become aware of a claim or a possible claim, number one, you have to notify your insurance carrier.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Amen.
Because it is a condition of every policy I've ever read that if a claim is made against you or you become aware of the circumstances of a claim, you have to notify them so they can begin the investigation process while the event is still fresh in people's minds. Because as time goes on, witness memories may fade.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got a valid defense, you want the people working for you to get in there as soon as possible. The second thing is to consult with your attorney if you have one. And if you have someone that's used for business, then they may have relationships with trial attorneys like I do that I can
refer.
I can call upon, either refer or bring them in on the case. But the main thing is you have to report that
loss
immediately. The potential, yeah, if you don't know if it's a loss yet, but it's a potential loss.
Right. Yes,
you're preaching into the choir here, Larry.
Just because you haven't been sued yet doesn't mean there may not be a claim.
Correct.
And you have to report it.
Correct.
Yeah, and in our side of the fence, that's called an occurrence. Mm-hmm. And so what we have to do is there's a notice of occurrence. And I can tell you, insurance companies are really at a disadvantage when they find out something that happened a year ago that they should have been able to start investigating, like you said, and memories get short. And people don't remember things, or things can change, and people have different perceptions of what happened. So it's a that's great, Larry. I appreciate you bringing that point up, because that's a really good thing. So we're going to be taking a break here, and we're going to talk about what happens after the break about, you know, what happens when your liability is paid by the insurance carrier. What can they what can be imposed on you as far legally after your insurance company is paid out? So we will be back talking with Attorney Larry Ford, and him here with my wife Kathy and Attorney Larry Ford on WJRB Talk of the Mountains.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind, here to help you find out if you need more insurance. Once again, your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore with More Insurance.
Welcome back. This is Kathy Moore with my husband, Mark Moore, and our special guest, Larry Ford. We want to let you know where More Insurance is located. We have three locations. One is in Hayesville, next to United Community Bank on U.S. Highway 64. Come by and see Mandy, Amy, Vaughn, Rose, Diane, myself, and Mark. We'd love to help you with your insurance needs there. We also have another location next to the hospital in Hiawassee on Main Street, which is in the red brick building called Town Trace. You can come by and see Joanne. And then also, lastly, we have our Blairsville location, which is across from Home Depot and across from the post office there in the South State Bank building. We're in a different, separate wing. Come by and see Cindy, Greg, Ashley, and Shayna. I'll help you out there with your insurance needs. You can also check out all the podcasts on our website at www.more-insurance.com and like us on Facebook. We also have another location, which is Murphy, and that is called Mountain Insurance. It is a division of More Insurance, and you can come by and see Velda and Emily there. And we're next to the Arby's there on 64. Yeah. Lastly, we have Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge. We're also again next to United Community Bank there, and three in the Burger King. Come by and see Jeremy and Kathy to help you out with your insurance needs there.
Great. Thank you, Kathy. So, you know, we do have our special guest Larry Ford today, and we are on Peace of Mind, or maybe a radio show, where spending 15 minutes on your insurance could cause you to go bankrupt. So you need to, you need to know what your liability limits are. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think, hey, I was in an accident, I've got insurance, I'm good. But there's going to be a limit that you have chosen to what they are going to pay. And so I wanted to ask Larry, you know, let's say that we have somebody that's chosen in Georgia, say $25,000, and you've injured somebody, and they've got a judgment of $100,000. Your insurance company's paid $25,000, and now you've got a $75,000 difference. And I don't know this because we don't see it on our side of the fence where Larry does. What can happen to you, Larry? Can they put liens on your property? Can they garnish your wages? Will it cause a bankruptcy? If you've got a judgment against you, what's the recourse that, you know, against the third party that sued you that has a judgment? What can they do to you once that judgment's been rendered by a court?
Well, it's not pleasant.
Yeah.
They can start the collection process, and that can start out with typically what collection attorneys might do. And I'm going to have to differentiate a little bit between North Carolina and
yes.
Georgia, since you're going to have listeners from both sides, yes, and yeah. things are a little bit different in the two states. But generally, let's talk about North Carolina first.
Okay.
And the good news in North Carolina is that let's talk about real estate, because that's probably the home, your personal residence is, for most folks, will probably be your biggest investment, your biggest asset.
Mm-hmm.
So, and some people think, well, I have a mortgage on my home, so they can't do anything with that because the mortgage, well, that's not true. If you've got equity,
mm-hmm.
if the fair market value of your house is above the mortgage balance on your house, there's equity there.
Yes.
And that can
be. A lot
of
people in this market have a lot of equity.
Well, you know, it depends on location, and mm-hmm. economic conditions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We could probably have asked Bill and Cindy Daves, who were here earlier, about that. But that equity can be gotten at through foreclosure, because you can, once a judgment is rendered, it becomes a lien on the real estate of the person against whom the judgment was rendered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in North Carolina, we have an exemption for married couples. If the property is owned by spouses, I used to say husband and wife, but that doesn't necessarily apply anymore.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But between spouses, that's what's called a tenancy by the entirety. And in North Carolina, it's exempt. So unless the judgment is against both parties. So you'd have to have a judgment against both spouses to expose that house. If it's if they've got that judgment against both spouses, then that equity that's in that house is at risk. They would probably start, and eventually it could be foreclosed. They can you can foreclose on a judgment as a judicial lien through
the court. That's harsh.
Yeah, through the court process. They would probably start with basically issuing subpoenas or levies to banks. They would probably do a sweep of all the banks in the area to see if there are any accounts that they could. They basically could serve a levy or demand for the bank to pay over to the judgment creditor whatever money was in that bank account. Again, if the owner, the holder of the account, is the person or persons against whom that judgment was rendered. So there's a lot of, that's why you don't want really low limits. And I had a case one time where older gentleman had dropped his limit, his insurance policy down to the bare minimum limits, turned left in front of a line of cars and had four separate claims, and he got the letter. They settled with the first two claimants for half of the policy limits. They sent him the letter, said, if we can't settle with these last two, then you're going to be paying the rest of it. To make a long story short, which probably the subject of a different program, he had all his assets except the car he was driving when he had the wreck in a trust.
Oh, that's good.
And there's different types of trust. Some will protect your assets, some will won't, but that's a story for maybe a different program. Mm-hmm. But and we were lucky on that one. I'll just say that right now.
Yeah.
But bank accounts, houses can all be at risk. The situation in Georgia is a little bit different. They do not have tenancy by the entirety. So you have to look at exactly how the property is titled. But again, it could be at risk. So the takeaway is that if you get a judgment rendered against you, a money judgment, any asset you have is potentially at risk depending on what type of asset it is or how it's held. One common technique to keep assets, personal assets, from being subject to risk is to have an LLC, which, for instance, may own the property if someone has a slip and fall or maybe owns the vehicle if it's used in business that has the accident. So you try to isolate and concentrate those claims against the assets within the LLC and not against your personal assets.
Right. I always say keep your personal and your business.
I had a customer last year, and it was a I guess I can tell the story. We insured a marina, and they this could be another story for another show, but that they were doing these boat rentals, and we just couldn't talk them into getting insurance for liability to rent boats. I'm like, wow, if somebody drowns, they are going to be in big trouble. Mm-hmm. And not only that, they own the property in the individual. It wasn't even a separate LLC. And so I'd end up trying to convince them to form an entity and they had all these rental homes, all these assets. And so in my way of thinking is, if something happened within this business, that they've just exposed their entire net worth and everything they've got to a liability situation, not only not having insurance and then having all their stuff titled individually, they were really at risk there because of, like you just said, if you don't have any type of protection between you and a liability claim, what your business may cause, you could be in real trouble.
Yeah.
Well, your insurance policy is hopefully your first line of defense.
And they didn't have any. And they chose to self-insure it.
Yeah.
So,
well, if you've got deep pockets.
Yeah,
really
I would say they were gambling, weren't they?
Can't talk today. If you've got really deep pockets, then yes, you can self-insure. Those people are few and
far between. Yeah. We're talking like multimillionaires but it's a...
Or a couple of people that we know.
Yeah, exactly. A couple people, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, we had another situation one time. A guy comes in there, he goes, his house is insured, and he's bought insurance over the phone. He's a affluent, he's very wealthy, and he was carrying minimum limits. And I just I can't believe you have no umbrella policy, you have no... do you have no protection if you cause an accident? And Larry, a lot of our clients in our area we live are getting a little older. So, if you're an older driver, you hope you have good reflexes still, but some people don't. Not as good as they were back when they were younger when they're driving. So, you got to be very careful about, when you're choosing those liability limits. Okay, so...
And we encourage an umbrella.
We encourage an umbrella, yes. And I do want to talk some more about that. You know, we're going to go have some other shows here with Larry. I'm very, very fortunate that Larry's agreed to come in here and talk with us about this. It's a very important topic, and it's good to have somebody that knows it from the other side, because we don't. We see it from the insurance side. Mm-hmm. And I know that us not being an attorney, my understanding is you have to be an attorney to be able to even interpret a contract. We're not allowed to do it. Larry can do it because he's got a license to do so, but we cannot.
Well, so we can advise folks on the contract.
Yes.
That's generally where the bright line is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, great. Well, Larry, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you so much. And we will be back. And I'm Mark Moore with my wife, Kathy Moore, and we're on WJRB Talk of the Mountains.
Statements on this show as to policies and coverages and other content provide general information only, and no warranties are provided as to their accuracy. Listeners should consult with their licensed agent as to how these coverages pertain to their individual situation. Information provided on this show does not constitute professional advice. If you have insurance, legal, tax, or financial planning questions, you need to contact your qualified professional. All coverages are subject to the terms, conditions, and exclusions of the actual policy issued. Not all policies or coverages are available in every state.